When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to say once again I'm joined by the Daily Record's Andy Newport and the Sunday Mail chief football writer Scott McDermott. We're closing in on the transfer deadline dates. I think it always slams shut at the slightly earlier time of half 11, so that means you'll get your bed a wee bit earlier, Andy. And right. Rangers also closing in a bit on Celtic. The gap, 5 points, can go to 2 if you win that game in hand. But let's start with the transfer business, Andy, because that's what everybody wants to talk about. Well, there's loads of strands to the Rangers transfer business, but let's start with one this morning. Came a wee bit out the blue. You probably wouldn't have said it 2 or 3 months ago, but Cyril Dessers is attracting interest. who would have thought it from Italy? Obviously, they'll know him. Rangers signed him from Cremonese, and Verona and Torino both linked this morning, reports from Italy. Now, I jest, but 2 or 3 months ago, you couldn't imagine anybody being linked with them. Had they been, or having said that, Sam Lammers went to Utrecht, albeit on loan. But you wouldn't expect anybody major to be interested in him. Reports have come out today. A bit of a dilemma, I would imagine, for Rangers, given he's hit this purple patch. What do you think? Would you sign and have a replacement lined up, or is he a not for sale?
I mean, as you say, I mean, it's what a turnaround. I mean, I did my match report. I was obviously at the game with Scott on Saturday at St Mirren, and I did my match report after the game just on the turnaround. I mean, it's only 7 days earlier that basically the fans have been telling, they could have been chanting do one day, so given the chances they missed at Dumbarton, and then by the end of the game, obviously at St Mirren, it's a nice one, Cyril. So, I mean, it's what a turnaround. I think that's just emblematic of the sort of impact that Felipe Clement's had on several members of the squad. You can see it for quite a few players, whether it be John Lundstrom or Ridvan Yilmaz, you know, even I think, you know, Tavernier and Goldson to an extent, you know, they were getting so much stick at the start of the season. And now all of them are sort of, you know, crucial with the sort of turnaround this team. You know, Dessers, I think he'd only scored 3 goals before the new manager came in. Now it's a goal every other game. It's 9 and 18 appearances. I mean, it's, you know, it's in a remarkable turnaround. Listen, I don't think any Rangers fan is going to sit there and look at Cyril Dessers and go, he is undoubtedly Rangers' first choice, number 9 going forward. You know, I think they would think they can find somebody who's more reliable, certainly. But, you know, he's hitting form. And at this moment, you know, he's got the jersey on merit. You know, as I say, you know, the goal scoring record he's got, you know, he's 12th in total for the season. He's on course for 20 goals this season. And if you'd said that at the start of the season, I think most people would have taken, you know, for a new striker in his first season in Glasgow to come in and get 20 goals. So the fact that he's now getting some interest, I don't think it's a surprise based on his latest figures, but, you know, it's maybe one of a case of when you look, it's a case of what happens when you look at stats rather than the sort of eye test. I mean, I still think he's a bit clumsy. His first touch isn't great at times. He can be erratic in front of goals. His finishing is not always reliable, as I said. So, will Rangers look to cash in on this month? Only if they can get somebody else in. And even then, I'm not sure, because at the end of the day, right now, he's the only fit, what you call out-and-out striker. You know, Fabio Silva's been brought in I think we all agree he's probably more suited to sort of playing off the left-hand side. So I'm still not entirely convinced they'd be willing to let him go. Only, I think, if they thought they were going to get the money back. You know, they paid an awful lot of money for him in the summer. I think if they thought they could get the £4.5 million back for him, that might tempt them, and they could go and, you know, who knows, you invest that in a Lawrence Shankland or somebody else. But I'm not convinced unless it's something that's really worth the while that they would consider doing at this point, just because of the lack of numbers they've got in that position at the moment.
Scott, across the city, Harold Brackback many years ago was much maligned at Celtic and then scored on the day that Celtic won the league to stop Rangers winning 10 in a row. Will Siri Odessor score the goal that wins Rangers the league this season?
I would very much doubt it, Gav. But listen, it's possible. Very few things would surprise me in football, but I think that would take me aback if Siri Odessor was the title hero for Rangers in the last day.
Look at his goals record. Would it be that surprising if we look at his goals just now? I mean, would it really?
Well, I mean, we're all saying Rangers need to bring a striker in before the deadline. I mean, I think that's a gimme, surely. I mean, if they don't, then I think fans will be pretty upset by that and annoyed in terms of going for the title. So if they're going to bring in a new striker, you would think that they would jump ahead of Dessers in the queue in terms of being the starter. So it probably is unlikely. Listen, you mentioned Brackback. I mean, there's others through the years. I remember Mark Haitley signed for Rangers initially. He took dogs abuse. I mean, I remember it vividly, a bit like Andy saying, you know, he looked as if he had a poor touch, and you know, he was just this big target man that was doing Rangers kind of more harm than good at the time. But my God, did he improve, and then going to become a club legend, one of the best strikers Rangers have ever had. So it does happen. But I mean, Andy mentioned the fee for Dessers. If it is £4.5 million, I know Michael Beale, I think, was disputing that when he was still in charge. But for that money, you know, you have to say Dessers in that regard has been a poor signing so far. I mean, Andy talks about the eye test. You need to go away what you're seeing. And for most of the time he's spent on the pitch for Rangers this season, I don't think he's been good enough. I don't think he's been up to the standard. Of course, there's been a big improvement in him since Clement has come in, as Andy touched on, as there has been with several players. I have to say, I did genuinely think the St Mirren game at the weekend was probably his best performance in a Rangers shirt, and it wasn't just the goal, which was a terrific run, touch and finish, but his actual overall game on Saturday in really difficult conditions, when a lot of players struggled, it was probably his best 90 minutes or whatever he played on Saturday. I thought that was his best performance. So, no, do you let him go? As Andy said, I think it's very simple. You couldn't let him go unless you'd a ready-made replacement lined up. But I think if there was a decent offer there in terms of getting most of your money back, and you did have a replacement lined up, it is something Rangers would think about. Because I think in general, if we kind of, no, we're joking slightly about him, but if you look at the overall picture, I don't think he's really been the striker that Rangers wanted, and for that kind of money. So if there was a decent offer there and somebody else was ready to come in, a Clement signing, somebody that he'd targeted, then yeah, I think Rangers would look at.
See, I mean, me and Andy spoke a bit about this last week when we were talking about the left-back situation. And I suppose Rangers have to be a wee bit careful during the January transfer window. It's all right saying, oh, well, you know, And it's difficult because they're trying to right the wrongs of the summer. So it's like, you know, well, we'll get rid of Dessers if we can, and we'll bring in somebody else. But we were talking about the situation with the left-back situation, saying, well, it's all right saying, Philip Clement saying, we'll let Yilmaz go or Barisic go if we get another left-back. And we were talking about Hefty, who's been linked from Apoel in Cyprus. But the danger is, if you let like a Yilmaz go and you bring in a Hefty, or you know, you don't know how good they're going to be. Surely the same must apply to Dessers. It's all right saying, well, if you get $4.5 million, you'll let them go. But if you bring somebody else in, you've got to be sure that they're going to be able to score as much as there's room for improvement with Dessers. If you bring somebody in, it's a dangerous game to make too many changes like that now.
Is it not the case, though, that with Dessers, you know how bad he can be? So you're looking for somebody who's more reliable. And as much as Cyril Dessers is playing well right now, we've seen what happens when his confidence is low. And, you know, it only takes a couple of missed shot opportunities in a big game for a confidence sort of level to crash. And I think, end of the day, that's the thing with Cyril Dessers. I think we've seen, you know, he could score goals. You know, he did it for Feyenoord. You know, he took them basically to a European final with his goals. So we know he can score goals, but it's how reliable is he? Can he do it week in, week out? How robust is he when his confidence slips a wee bit? And I think that's where the question marks over him remain. And I think that's why there'll always be that need for Rangers to go out and get another centre forward, especially if they're serious about going for this title this season.
And also, Andy, is he the guy that Philip Clement wants there for the next 2 or 3 years? You would have to doubt that. I mean, he's a Michael Beale signing. As I say, it hasn't really worked out despite his kind of upturn in form. Clement is clearly trying to change the transfer strategy, the club transfer policy, along with the new Belgian head of recruitment, Niels Koppen. So, I mean, just touching on what you're saying, Gav, about too many changes, I mean, that's the one thing that has slightly surprised me so far about Rangers, about this window in terms of getting Diomande and talk about Hefty and Cortez that they've been linked with.
Yeah.
I understand why Clement would want to change the policy, and he's 100% right in terms of saying Rangers shouldn't find themselves in this position with so many guys out of contract and losing big players for free. I totally get that, and he's right. And that's the way it should be at Rangers and Celtic. That has to be the model. We know that. We've spoken about it a million times. But I'm slightly surprised that they seem to be trying to do it in a January window. To me, that kind of shift should probably be done in the summer. Because I think if you ask Rangers fans now, in a January window with what, 4 or 5 months left of the season, the only priority is winning the title. And to me, anybody coming in the door in January at this moment in time should be there to go and win Rangers the title. You know, like a Shankland, for instance, who many people believe would be the guy that would come in, hit the ground running, be ready to go and score the goals. So like you're saying, we're a replacement for Dessers. You're right, it might take somebody time to bed in. I think it'll take Diomande time to bed in. As you say, if you lose Yilmaz and bring in the Brazilian left back again, time to bed in. I don't think that's ideal. For a January win.
That's my only point about Dessers. I mean, I'm not disputing how good he is. I'm just saying he scored 12 goals. And if you bring a guy in, and even if you get the $4.5 million, whoever you bring in, they're going to have as good a goals to game. And we don't know like Silva can do that yet. So the new guy that comes in, he's going to have to be able to do that. And he can't, as Scott says, he can't have time to settle in. So I'm just saying, as much as we're
the only thing I would say to that is that I think if you look at just the sheer volume of players that Felipe Clement has had to work with since he came in, you know, he's not really had that settled lineup. Injuries, suspensions, you know, drops in form or guys coming back into form has meant that, you know, I haven't looked through it yet, but I'd be amazed if he's named the same starting 11 or anything close to it since he's come in. So what I think will give him confidence is that he knows that no matter what, he's, you know, bar that Celtic result, he's been able to get a result, most of the time, a winning performance out of a team that changes from week to week. So he'll think more of, Diomande probably, you know, I don't think any of us are expecting him to start immediately this weekend against Livingston. But, you know, give him a couple of weeks, I think Felipe Clement will back himself, given what he's done previously with this squad of players that he's had to sort of use every one of them at various points, that he'll think, I can get a turn out of him. I also think that just in terms of the injuries they've got, I mean, the number of guys that, again, we talk about reliability, you know, a Kamar Roof or a, you know, a Tom Lawrence or, you know, Kieran Dowell or even like a Yilmaz at times through his Rangers careers, you just cannot for certain, say these guys are going to do you 10, 12, 15 games in a row, because they've not been able to do that so far. So I think he'll think, well, you know, if we can get in a Diamandé, even though it might take him 3 or 4 months to settle in Glasgow, he's going to have to play at some point, because the number of guys that are just coming in and dropping straight back out again means that we need somebody that's more robust and is able to sort of churn out game after game.
I think you're right about what you said last week about the Diamandé one. I mean, he's clearly a player that is available now, and, you know, he's got plenty, you know,
strike while iron's hot. Yeah, getting there cheap before it gets too expensive.
You just take him, whether you need that position filled or not just now. He's just somebody who's available and's got potential. And so you just take him, and then you worry about that later. So I'm
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, on that note, our colleague Fraser Wilson had a very good piece this morning with one of his mentors. Andy, did you read it?
I haven't had the chance to read it, but I know I spoke to Fraser about it. I think it was obviously it's Fraser Robertson, one of the former coach at St Mirren. Yeah, I remember from his time at St Mirren. Obviously, the right to from what we've heard about the right to dream, it's an academy that, you know, is really proven itself successful in terms of unearthing these sort of gems from Africa. Obviously, unearthed Diamandé, there you go, there's your headline writer's dream. But it seems to me that, like, you know, this is a route that Rangers should, you know, perhaps be looking to themselves. You know, we know that there's struggles at the minute in terms of, you know, really rearing top-rated Scottish quality. There doesn't seem to be that many young guys coming through, and they're going to have to perhaps turn their view, turn their scope somewhere else. And, you know, obviously now we've seen Hibs are having this tie-up with Bournemouth, I think it is, and, you know, that's, they'll be looking to get some players in for that. Rangers are probably going to have to be a wee bit more inventive themselves and see if they can, you know, find other ways to bring in, you know, young players that are talented. And obviously in Denmark, in Norseland, they've got this tie-up with Right to Dream. I think it's actually Right to Dream that own Norseland now, and they're using that as a vehicle to get players from Africa into Europe. And, you know, it's obviously working great guns to them. And, you know, I think they've got somebody else that they're trying to sell this now for 20-odd million to West Ham. I can't remember the lad's name. But, you know, it's clearly been somebody, they've had a conveyor belt of talent, and they've been able to sort of, you know, bring these players through and make millions on them. I just think Rangers should be, you know, all Scottish clubs should be sort of taking that view if they can afford it.
Yeah. Scott, this Scott's mentor to him was, as Andy said, he was working in the Right to Dream out in Ghana, and spoke a bit about him. He said he had him from a very, very early age. So he said here, I'll just skip to what he said about him sort of more laterally. He said he's played various positions for Northland. He's been playing first team football since he was 18, went into the team as a left wing back. So he's a level experience now as well, despite being only 22, but he's found his position now. He's a central midfielder who can play anywhere in that central area, 6, 8 or 10, has an elegant left foot in tight areas and bigger areas, and also has a good range of passing right from a young age because his technique was so good. Always had a good engine, and as he's grown, he's developed that even more. Is that encouraging words, would you say? Well, it's encouraging words, but where do you see him fitting in? Where would you like to see him fit in? Where do you think they've bought him for?
Well, I think, well, essentially it looks as if he'll be a replacement for Cifuentes in the squad. If you're looking at Cifuentes going out, mm-hmm, initially on loan, but no, that'll probably be permanently come the summer. I do think it's something Rangers have lacked in the middle of the park. That kind of left-sided midfielder, that kind of box-to-box. I know Kieran Dowell's predominantly left-sided, but obviously hasn't quite happened for him at Rangers since he's come in. But you look at the success Celtic have had with Matt O'Reilly, for instance, coming in, and Matt O'Reilly often plays on the right of Celtic's three-man midfield. and it works really well for them because he can obviously come in on his left foot. And I would expect, I'm just taking a punt, but I would expect Diomande to kind of have a kind of similar role, not to play in a kind of Rangers midfield three. Listen, I know sometimes it'll be two sitters and one in front, but other times they'll go with a three. And I think he'll just slot in and be just an all-round, from what I've read and what the clips I've seen, just be an all-round box-to-box, really good midfielder. But I do think that balance of him being left-sided will help, because I do think it's something that they've lacked. But listen, you just don't know. But he's a young guy. No, he's obviously done well in Denmark. But the proof will be in the pudding, Gav, with a lot of these signings. As I say, we've mentioned the names, same as Cortez, same as Hefty. I mean, you can watch all the YouTube clips you like. Mm-hmm. And I think fans do get kind of sucked in at times when you read social media and it's constant, this guy's going to be brilliant. I mean, I've heard that so often now with Rangers and Celtic, for that matter.
Do you not think Rangers fans have maybe taken a bit of a step back from that since the summer? Because, I mean, there was so much of that, no?
Not really, what I've read. I mean, everything has been so positive. But, I mean, as I say, it's the same stuff I read about.
I think there were some doubts. You did have some doubts about Dessers, Lammers' lack of goals over in Italy. I mean, there were reservations expressed, people are excited thinking if you can get these guys on an upward trajectory, then maybe, yeah, they might be well. If you can get them back on an upward trajectory, the trouble is that, they really struggle to do that. But I think these guys, they're a different age profile. I mean, they all seem to be sort of that 20, 22 sort of age range. And I think that's the difference from the summer. They obviously went for a wee bit more experience in the summer, but I think what you could argue in the summer was that they got guys who had been on, as I say, a trajectory, and we're actually now starting to come back down again. Whereas these guys, Rangers will hope, is that they're just starting to climb and that they can get the best out of them over the next 3-4 years.
I totally agree. As I said before, I think the profile is right, and that's what Rangers should be doing. No, Diomande 21, I think Cortez 20, Hefty 20, or whatever it might be. That is the profile Rangers need to go for. I mean, you buy these players with potential and hope. No, let's be brutally honest. You hope that in 2, 3, 4 years' time, you go and sell them. You go and sell them for a profit. Celtic have done it in the past with Wanyama, for instance, just off the top of my head. That's what Scottish clubs, that's what the old firm have to do moving forward. I say, I just think in Rangers' case, right at this moment in time when you're chasing a title, I just wonder about the timing of it. I think fans would probably rather just a couple of guys come in to go straight into the team and hit the ground running. Now, listen, these boys might do that, but you talk about, like, take Cortez for example, as a 20-year-old winger from Colombia. He's not played a lot of football in France. Clearly, his talent and had major potential a couple of years ago. I just don't know, is that the right type of signing for Rangers in a January window when you're going to try and win a league? Yeah. I think that's a bit of a gamble. I think, I'll probably get shot down in flames for this, but if you look at a wide player, I think somebody like Danny Armstrong at Kilmarnock, for instance, could come into Rangers and actually give them something to the end of the season and actually go and help them try and win a title. And people scoff at that because it's a Kelly player and whatever. But Danny Armstrong, people bang on about stats. Danny Armstrong's stats hold up against pretty much anybody in the Scottish Premiership. No, you could get him for a decent fee. And as I say, I just think...
These are young guys, they've not played a lot of football, probably don't have that title winning experience that you're needing. But to get guys of that experience in January, which we all know is such a difficult month and market to operate, and those guys are just the type of guys that an ideal fit, somebody with experience and talent and mindset. Those just guys are well without Rangers, wage range or pay scale. You know, so they have to take a gamble. They gambled in the summer hoping that getting guys who have had decent moments in their career but have come off, fallen off the, you know, come off the path a wee bit, and they were hoping they could get them back in the path. That's not worked. So now going to gamble the other way and go, hey, let's get some guys, as you say, younger profiles, and hope that you can harness their, you know, young energy and, you know, the rawness that they've got and use that. You know, they went for sort of one extreme to the other. But the fact is that they have to gamble just because they don't have the level of finance that buys you know, nailed on, guaranteed quality. They just, you know, those type of guys already playing in the Premier League and costing £25-30 million and £50,000-60,000 a week.
But you think that they could go, but in Shankland's case, you think you could, no, surely Rangers could go and get him. I mean, you think Shankland's a pretty much, I mean, nothing's guaranteed. But if you're wanting goals between now and the end of the season, no, Shankland pretty much guarantees you that. No, as Andy's saying, that might cost you between 2 or 3 million. No, to go and try and get him now with whatever it is, 17 months left in his contract. But if he wins you the title and gets you 60 million quid Champions League money, I mean, that pays itself back in a few months. So,
I tend to agree with you that. I think that's the gamble that perhaps they might be taking. I still think it's unlikely they'll go and sign another 28-year-old for, you know, that £3-4 million, having already spent that on Dessers. I think this is where the interest this morning comes in. If they can get that money back for Dessers, then maybe they're more tempted to do it. But I don't think they spend similar fees on two 28-year-olds, 29-year-olds, and have them in the books at the same time. I just can't see them, you know, going all in like that, because I think that is a sort of, you know, you're throwing all your chips in that case. You know, if you're spending another £3-4 million on another 28-year-old, knowing that you're unlikely to get that money back.
I just hope, Gav, I just hope for Rangers' sake, the fans' sake, that they don't get to the end of the season, they've lost the title by 4 or 5 points, and the club say, look, we gave it our best shot, but look on the bright side, we've got guys for the future here, though. We've got Dio Mandy and Jeff Day and all that. Yeah. But listen, of course you need to look at a bigger picture, and that's why I think in the summer, if you're title winners in the summer, you then look at the recruitment policy and the transfer strategy and you say, right, this has to be knocked into shape. We need to shift this. We need to change from what we've done previously. And Clement's touched on that himself. And they need to go and buy young, buy potential, buy with sell-on value. That's the way to go. All I'm saying is I just think in January, I think it's a dangerous game to go and get those types of players in the middle of a season when, as I say, you're 4 months away, you're properly in a title race, 4 months away for a potential 60 million quid jackpot getting in the Champions League. I'm just surprised they've not went all out. And listen, it still might happen, but surprised they've not went all out for a Shankland, or maybe went a wee bit closer to home with an almost guarantee that somebody's going to come in and hit the ground running and actually help you go over the line.
And I know we always hear cliches from each camp saying we don't look over the fence at what the other's doing and all that, but I mean, there's obviously been a lot of criticism of Celtic's January transfer business, and as you say, we don't know what else will happen between now and the window. But if we just take it to where it is now, do you think that should that be making Rangers more inclined to say Celtic are stuttering a bit here, there, not? Because everyone expected Celtic to go all in, and it's all the talk about the money sitting in the bank and that they would just go and blow Rangers away in this transfer window and try and kick on and splash the cash. They haven't done that, again, we say, so far. Should Rangers be thinking about that and saying, well, they're stuttering, we're going to go?
I think so. I just think they'll regret it if they don't, and they don't win the title, because, as you say, no, there's a real negative feeling around Celtic and Celtic Park at the moment. No, which is relatively rare, certainly in the last 10 years. No, we've seen it on Saturday, getting booed off the pitch after a 1-0 win. Brendan Rodgers doesn't look happy. He's had a pop at the fans. He's had a pop at the pitch. Punters clearly aren't happy with their business. And I don't think that will be remedied by Adam Ida coming in for Norwich if that happens, because I just don't think he's the guy that, that Celtic fans would have been looking to in terms of bringing in another striker to compete with Kyogo. I mean, Ida has been struggling to get a game with Norwich, so that's not going to win punters over. So there, I think there is a bit of a, you know, there's a vulnerability about Celtic. You know, there's a bit of fragility, and that's why I think the opportunity is there for Rangers to go and put real pressure on, to go and really show their intent in this window to go and get this title won. And if they don't, and as I say, they just fall short at the end of the season, I genuinely think they're going to look back with real regret at what will look like an opportunity missed.
I think Scott's right. I think there's just every incentive there for Rangers. You know, Celtic are, you know, in a state that we've really seen them, you know, fighting within, arguing amongst themselves, you know, injuries are mounting up as well. You know, there's, I think Scott's right, there's, you know, there's a chance here, there's a window here, it's been there so few times for Rangers, and they have to take it if they're serious. That's why I'm not surprised that they've sort of went with a level of investment this season, this month. I think they've realised that this is a Celtic team that are beatable and are catchable, and that's why they're now trying to put their money where their mouth is. It's just that it does seem like they are going sort of all in on it. You wonder what sort of ramifications this would have in the summer. You know, if they don't get that Champions League, does this sort of cut down on what they can spend in the summer? We saw, you know, under the Steven Gerrard sort of era that they did sort of, you know, front load a lot of their investment, and that sort of came back to bite them a wee bit. You know, once they'd won the title, they didn't have the money there to go and sort of, you know, what was it Steven Gerrard said, you know, fix the roof when the sun was shining. They couldn't really go again. They'd went the start of that season, the 55 season, where they brought in Kemar Roof and Cedric Itton, and they really sort of pushed the boat out to get the signings in that were going to take them to the title. Well, it looks like they're doing that again. So, but again, it comes with risk. They have to get results from it. If they don't, then, you know, what impact does that have going into next season?
As we've been talking, actually, just two bits of news that I'm seeing and what we've been talking about. Rio Hatate has gone off for Japan, so that could be another injury. You were mentioning their injuries. I don't know how serious it is, just coming up. They're playing just now in the Asia Cup. And also saying that Oscar Cortez is in Glasgow now, finishing his medical examinations to sign his contract. He'll arrive on loan, and an option to buy. If they take up the option, it will be a 4 to 5 year contract, so a long-term deal.
So that's part of what they're looking to do. They want to get these guys in, as you say, early, get them tied up, hope they develop, and then move them on. I mean, that is effectively what the sort of project, the selling model that they're talking about. You have to get these guys early, make sure they do the best of their development in Glasgow, get them tied up in long enough contracts so that when teams do come interested, that you've got enough, you can command enough of a transfer fee, and that's what, you know. It becomes a circle at that point, doesn't it? It just keeps on a cycle. Just becomes, you move on to the next target. You just keep doing it. That's what Celtic managed to do for the best part of 10 years, and that's what Rangers need to do as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just last one, Andy. Last night as well, there was talk that Rangers had knocked back a bid for Jack Butland. I think Nottingham Forest were the team named, but I've seen that disputed. Maybe. Whether it was in fact Nottingham Forest, so
contradictory messages is the way we'll put it. So
is that right? Okay, but we think a bid has gone in. But anyway,
there's definitely been a bid come in from a Premier League.
Okay, but we don't know who. But the bottom line is Rangers fans are feared. This is the one guy they don't want a bid to come in for. Is he just a not for sale at any price?
I'm not sure at any price. You know, I think if somebody were to come in with £25 million bid, then, you know, Rangers would be nuts not to consider that. But what I will say is that he has absolutely been, for me, he's been Rangers Player of the Year. I think he's close to being Scotland's Player of the Year so far if he carries on the way he's performed. I think I'd be stunned if he's not in the conversation for an England call-up. We spoke to him at the weekend there, and he was quite happy to speak about it himself. I think he realises that he's back playing to the type of levels that he got him capped previously. Obviously, 9 caps. I think it's 5.5 years since his last England appearance. He's been to two major Championships as a backup. It would have been with three had it not been for injury. So for me, he certainly deserves to be in that conversation. I think the Rangers, the sort of mood music from we were getting from Rangers yesterday is that they are absolutely determined to do all they can to help him fulfil that ambition, but they believe that this is the place, Ibrox is the place for him to achieve that. Obviously, that he's involved in a title race, European football to come in a couple of months' time in the Europa League last 16. He's got one trophy in the bag, obviously another Scottish Cup to chase as well. They believe this is a place where he can fulfil his ambitions and they're determined. They will not entertain any bids. As I say, that's all very well and good saying that, but if somebody came in and offered crazy money, then I think they'd be nuts not to consider. Just given, you know, we've seen the money the club have wasted, allowing deals to run down or not selling when the time was right. Who knows if he goes out tomorrow and breaks his leg, you know, touch wood, the club won't be wanting that to happen. But in terms of just, you know, if a crazy offer were to come in, then, yeah, they would have to consider it. But given what, as Scott has mentioned, what this title race is worth, you know, if you win the league and you're getting, who knows what the Champions League figures are these days, they always seem to get disputed figures, but, you know, this new format, extra games, I mean, you imagine it's going to be the biggest ever sort of prize pot available from a Champions League group stage with these two extra games that you'll be playing. So, you know, if Rangers were to win this league, it could, you know, be transformative in terms of the money they've brought in recent seasons. So that's why, you know, allowing somebody like Jack Butland, who has been absolutely fundamental to what Felipe Clement's been allowed to achieve, because, you know, there has been times where he's rescued them. Even you think about the game at Easter Road last midweek, you know, at 2-0, you know, Rangers look pretty comfortable. But if he was able to get a goal back, he makes those two huge saves early in the second half. That could have changed things. It could, those are the sort of moments in which title races sort of balance on. So for me, unless it was an absolutely crazy money offer, I would be knocking everything back. But, you know, we'll need to wait and see as we sit here, is another sort of 36 hours to go until the deadline. So we'll just need to see how it pans out.
Okay, just a final word on that one then, Scott. Andy mentions Euro 2024 and England ambition. So Jordan Pickford, Sam Johnson, Aaron Ramsdale, Nick Pope's injured, Fraser Forster, the other goalkeepers that have been used. That's five goalies used in the last sort of few England games. Is he better than some of them mentioned? Would you have him in ahead of Pickford as number one?
Well, listen, I think in current form, he's on a par with some of those. I mean, to be fair to Pickford, Gav, he's now established himself over the last few years as England number one. He's been to big tournaments, and to be fair to him, well, his club form at time might not have been great, but for England, I can't think of many occasions where Pickford's really let them down. The opposite, actually, in tournaments, he's been really good for them. So I think he's the kind of undisputed number one at the moment. But, I mean, you mentioned those other names, Ramsdale, Pope, Sam Johnson. I think on current form, Jack Butland is on a par with these guys. And that's why, as Andy says, I think he has to come into the conversation. I mean,
especially Ramsdale, he's not even getting a game really for Arsenal. I mean, his form's been up and down, but he's not even playing either. So you mean that, you think, has to sort of put him into the conversation?
And previously, you know, when English players have been up here, and, you know, they've maybe been mentioned like a James Tavernier a couple of years ago, but people kind of scoff at it. But I think Butland's different. No, he's different because of the position, different because of the guys that he's up against, different because he's been in the Premier League and the FA and Gareth Southgate and that know how good he can be. And, well, people will argue, well, it's only the Scottish Premiership. But as Andy says, he's performed brilliantly in Europe. He's now playing every week, which he's been crying out for. He's making huge saves. As Andy says, you know, won a title this year. Suddenly he's back in the, you know, he's back in the champ, or he's in the Champions League for the, you know, for the first time in his career. So, listen, Jack Butland's been brilliant for Rangers, but, you know, the moment Rangers are being good for Jack Butland as well, the fact that he's even been mentioned. So, I'm not surprised that Rangers aren't willing to entertain any sort of bid, because, you know, as Andy touched on it, if you're serious about being title contenders and you, you know, you think you can be champions, then Butland's going to be absolutely pivotal to that. So to lose him, especially mid-season, would be an absolute disaster. And trying to replace him right now, no, with that level of goalkeeper, would be pretty much nigh impossible, I think.
Great. Okay, listen, guys, I've kept you long enough. Thanks a lot for your time. I'm sure you'll be busy with the transfer deadline coming up. But thanks again for joining us. And next week, when we catch up, it could be a new look, Rangers starting 11.
Let's go.